I'm going to take you through real quick the account of Zacchaeus today in Luke 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or it'll be up on the platform. I have somewhere around here. There we go. The changer. I'm going to read this for you and follow along. It's a familiar story, okay? This is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, not because he was short. Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be with a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said, Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And I have cheated. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is the son of Abraham. For the Son of God came to seek and save the lost.
Okay.
Do you remember, I asked my teens this morning in the 20-somethings, if they ever heard the name Jessica McClure. Heard 30 years since that happened. Jessica McClure was an 18-month-old toddler in Midland, Texas, who fell down into a well 18 inches in diameter, 25 feet below ground, 18 months old. There was nothing that this young girl could do to rescue herself. She broke her arm and the impact. Circulation was cut off to her legs. Ultimately, she lost one of her toes because of it. But she had to depend on rescuers to come. And if you remember, I think all America was praying for her, right? All America was praying for her. Rescuers came and worked 58 hours straight. 58 hours straight to free this young girl. And they got her out. There was nothing, not one iota of a thing this girl could have done to save herself. And yet it took a rescuer to come along her side. It was 30 years ago, but in a recent interview, Jessica McClure said her life is a miracle and God was on her side that day. I don't know if you saw that interview. It was on television recently. And in this passage, Dr. Luke tells us of even a greater rescue of a Jewish man who was hated. His name happened to be Zacchaeus, and he was hated. And he was an outcast. Why was he hated? He was hated because he was a Jew, and he was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy, and the way he got wealthy was extorting money from his fellow Jews. So let me just put it in perspective real quick. In Zacchaeus' case, if your taxes were $300 a year, the Roman government says you can charge them whatever you want. Just give us our $300, you keep the rest. And so if taxes were legitimately $300, he'd say you owe me $600, right? He was hated. They considered him one level above a murderer by his own people. He was considered an outcast. And somehow, Zacchaeus knew he was a man in spiritual trouble. He had come to a point in his life where he knew he couldn't rescue himself. He was wealthy, and yet he still had this sense that he was helpless. Something was missing, and he was miserable. He knew he needed a rescuer who could touch his soul. He had all the money he could use and more. There are several lessons we can learn from this today. First of all, wealth, fame, and popularity doesn't necessarily lead to inner joy. Nothing wrong with wealth when it's gained honestly, and God blesses you that way. And then our responsibility with that wealth is then to use it to minister to others, right? But Zacchaeus was a criminal. He was an extortionist. And he got wealthy and dishonest gain. And he thought that could bring him an inner sense of peace. But and we see this today, right? We see this with athletes. We see this with dishonest businessmen. We see this with people who are in acting, the acting industry, singing. You just look at some of the meltdowns that have happened along the years, and you say, people have so much stuff. How can they not be happy? Something is missing. Something is missing. Zacchaeus at least had the sense to know that he was in trouble spiritually. He was lonely. He didn't have any friends. Maybe the other tax gatherers, but he probably gypped them too. And so my guess is that he was a lonely man searching. The life decisions he made for himself made him an outcast and an enemy of the people. How many of us here have been guilty of making bad decisions in life? And if we're honest with ourselves, some of Zacchaeus lives in us. And we bear the consequences of those decisions. You know, the purpose of the Ten Commandments is to help us to see how holy God is and how unholy you and I are. Isn't that true? You follow me around for 10 minutes after the service, you will see me break at least two of the commandments. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know we can't keep them. But they're designed to show us that how holy God is and how holy we are. They're also designed to show us that we have made bad choices along the ways, and we need a rescuer. We need a rescuer, not the first responders who were gracious enough to get out Jessica McClure, but the rescuer from heaven who could genuinely rescue you and me from ourselves and from the penalty of sin. And so, Zacchaeus knew his need. Now, you saw when he tried to go into the town and see Jesus, he was hated. If you want to visualize Zacchaeus physically, remember Louis De Palma from Taxi? Right? I mean, and Louis De Palma is a good illustration because they all hated him because he was dishonest. He was, you know, he was short. He was a runt, you know. The whole picture this man and the crowds along the street trying to get a glimpse of who Jesus is. And my suspicion is that this man, Zacchaeus, heard that this Jesus was different. He wasn't like the religious people who shunned people, but he had a love for tax gatherers, prostitutes, and outcasts. He wanted to see this man, and yet, because he was so short, you know what he got in the face? Elbows, right? Trying to get through the crowd. They wouldn't let him see. So what did he do? Those of us who are short know that feeling, don't we? What did he do? He climbed a sycamore tree. If you ever see a sycamore tree, it's got a very thick trunk. It the branches come out pretty low to the ground. But listen, here is a guy who was willing to go out on the limb for Jesus. Just like Daniel was willing to go out on a limb and get out of his comfort zone and go down to the Dominican Republic. Just like Nick was willing to go out on a limb and for a second time to go in the mission field down to Peru. Yeah. He went out on the limb for Jesus. You know what the people probably said? Look at this crazy guy. He's in the tree. It's where he belongs. You know, he's in the tree. So, and the scripture says Jesus is passing by this way. There are many people in our road, in our world, including myself before I met Jesus Christ, who can probably relate to Zacchaeus. And you might say, well, you know, he was wealthy. I'm not wealthy. Well, you don't have to necessarily be wealthy, but he was dishonest. Right? I haven't been honest all the time. How about you? Not only was he dishonest, but he was corrupt. Sound like some people that we know? Could be a corrupt politician or a corrupt public servant. Or a school student who cheats. Or a person of poor character. I mean, we can go on and on. We remember this, that Jesus came for people like us, like Zacchaeus, people like you and me. Only God's grace through Christ can produce inner joy and contentment and reconciliation. Zacchaeus became passionate to see this Jesus who showed love, mercy, and grace to tax collectors and sinners. He didn't condone their lifestyle, but he offered them hope. He never said that they could continue in the lifestyle, but his message was very simple. Repent, turn from it, and believe in me. And know the forgiveness that I can give you, the new purpose in life that seemed to resonate with Zacchaeus in his state of knowing he had to be rescued. He was determined and willing to hear Jesus no matter what the obstacles to himself. He literally went out on a limb for Christ. Only God's grace can change the human heart. Only God's grace can change the human heart. That's why you will hear me say you can never argue anybody into the kingdom of God. You may win the argument, but you're going to put up the barriers. Only God's love and grace can change the human heart through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, the time was right. The place was right. Some of you may not even want to be here today, but God had a divine appointment for you. How many of you know that you've been on divine appointments? They happen all the time. God had a divine appointment for you. And so Jesus comes walking away. And what does Jesus do? He looks up and I don't know if he knew of Zacchaeus beforehand or saw him before. Scripture's silent about that. But here's a remarkable thing. Jesus knew his name. Zacchaeus, come down from there. We need to have dinner together. At your house, Zacchaeus. I don't know if your wife will get angry. You're bringing company home without calling her or whatever. But I need to stay at your house, Zacchaeus. Because the dinner is a place we can talk about intimate things and spiritual things. But I got something greater for you than food. Because in your house, you can have the bread of life. Sitting right at your table. And you can partake of the bread of life through faith. Can you imagine this guy who was hated, an outcast, and this Jesus calling your name? He will call your name. He has called your name. Jeremiah says, he knew my name before I was conceived. He knew your name before you were conceived. That's grace. That is incredible love and grace. He wanted close fellowship with Jesus, and Jesus didn't care what the religious people thought. Because what was their response? He's going to a house of a sinner. If he was holy, he'd never go to a house of a sinner. Well, I'm glad Jesus does that, because he came to a sinner. He came to sinners. In fact, Jesus' grace and love always leads to repentance when it's received by faith. Isn't that true? You know what repentance is? We don't use that word too much anymore, unfortunately. Repentance means I'm turning away from my rebellious ways, away from God, and I'm turning in faith to God through Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we're changing our direction. And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. He responded to an incredible love that said, Zacchaeus, I know who you are. You're a thief. You've extorted. You're dishonest. You're mean. But I love you. I love you. Isn't it funny that when we see people come to Christ, we know or are aware of, who come from different backgrounds with us, sometimes we say, how can God accept him or her? If we're honest with ourselves, isn't that true? Isn't that what happened when we found out that Ted Bundy made a profession of faith with Focus on the Family? Dobson, thank you. I've had people come up to me and say, you think it's true? I said, it's none of your business. That's between him and God. And if it's sincere, we'll see him in heaven. I mean, you know, sometimes I think we play God in all of this, and we think, you know, God can't save some people because of what they've done or anything like that. Listen, grace can save to the uttermost. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says, the book of Hebrews. In response, you read Zacchaeus's response. He was willing to give to the poor generously. Not only was he willing to give to the poor, but in response to God's grace, he was willing to make restitution for those he cheated. The law required to pay back twice as much. He said, I'm going beyond that. I'm going to pay back four times as much because of the great debt from which I've been forgiven by God's grace and the cross of Christ. See, Jesus knows your name. He stands ready to offer you forgiveness, new life, a new purpose through faith in him and him alone. Zacchaeus exercised that faith. Sounds like that others in that household came to faith. Isn't that what it sounds like from the past? I don't know for sure. Sounds like it. But a lot of times that's what happens, right? One person comes to faith. Second person comes to faith in the family, and so on and so forth. Everyone who's rescued by the love of and grace of Christ is a miracle. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by faith, you're a walking miracle. You've been forgiven of a debt that is so vast that no good works, no amount of religion, none of that could ever repay it. Jesus did it in my place, in your place on the cross. I often use this illustration, and my fear is that we grow so cold, not cold, but we grow so used to this. Some of you still have mortgages on your house or car payments. If you went home today and you found out somebody paid the full loan off, the mortgage, you'd probably be doing cartwheels down Route 9. Isn't that true? How much more should we be rejoicing, not selfishly or gloating, because there is nothing you and I could do to save ourselves, just like Jessica McClure. But how much more should we be thanking God that through Jesus Christ, my debt is paid in full, once and for all? You realize we're coming into the Easter season. And I want to say to you that I love Easter. I love Christmas. But for those of us who have trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and have followed him, every day should be Christmas. Every day should be Easter for us, because we live in the grace of God. And so here's the questions I want to ask you very quickly. This morning, have you responded to the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, don't leave here today without doing that. See me or see somebody who you know during the service, and we'll talk to you more about that. Have you trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know that he died to pay the full penalty of your rebellion against God in your place? Will you experience his forgiveness? Will you let him give you new life and new purpose? It's incredible. Zacchaeus was a changed man. He had new life, new purpose. He had inner peace. I wanted to just bring you to the last verse of that section. And I'm going to close with this, because this is it in a nutshell. For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost. If something is lost, it means it's out of its rightful place, correct? How many of you have gone crazy if you lost something because it's not in the place where it should be, right? This statement is, so I could do a sermon on this last statement, but very quickly, what this statement says is that sin, our rebellion against God, takes us out of a place that we were created for, and that was to be, have a relationship with God himself. So we're out of that place because of sin, our own sin, excuse me, and we're lost. But the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus,
His precious blood
that washes away our sin, the moment we trust him, now serves to reconcile us back in good relationship with the Father. Not because of anything I did or you did, but because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
On the cross. And now I'm not lost. Back in the place where I belong. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Was blind, but I could see. Zacchaeus was blind. And now he can see. Jesus is still on his seek and rescue mission. Still is. This is the message of Easter, Christmas, and every day. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. And so here's what I'd like to do. Bill, would you come?